Some people never remember their dreams. Rising from sleep, they are one moment there, fully formed, vivid and alive, and then the next breath, gone, dropping like a hanged man through the trapdoor of a suddenly remade consciousness, never to rise again, or as a coin cast into a well, falling and fading, so far down that even the tiny splash of its entry, the last register that it was ever real enough to be held in your palm, is unheard, lost, forever. Sometimes a tiny whisper lingers, like those times when you encounter a smell that for an instant transports you somewhere long back, but cannot be seized. It is here and gone in the same moment. That's what it was like for him, my husband. Sometimes he would cry out in the night. Then I knew he was dreaming, knew that his dreams were as real as anyone's. And sometimes he would whimper like a child, still dreaming, distraught, shaking and sobbing, and even in waking, inconsolable, mourning for all the things he couldn't even remember, just the dull ache of knowing something tangible was there once. But it is not like that for me. I remember. My dreaming is as real as my waking, and I listen to the voices inside me. There is a wisdom in dreams that the sensible wide awake dare not credit. They say that this man, the one I dreamed of, the preacher from Nazareth, the one who has turned up the heat on all of us, believed in dreaming, came from a race of dreamers, believed that even God spoke through the magnetic pulses of the brain, tapping out his messages and stories while the world and all within it is asleep. Young men dreaming dreams, old men seeing visions, I could see all of it, and I carried the word from the depths of fast asleep to the turbulent waters of wide awake. I told Pontius plainly, sent the message to the judgment seat itself, have nothing to do with this man, for he is innocent, troublesome, provocative, disturbing, yes, but innocent, and I am suffering today because of his presence in my dreams. And if he couldn't get the urgency of my words, and let's face it, like all those consumed by fear, worried about their position, listening was not one of his strengths. There was surely no mistaking my own fear. He must have seen it in my eyes this morning, felt it in the necessity of that hurried message sent. I say it again, have nothing to do with this man. Leave him alone. He is of God, not our gods, not the capricious panoplies of fear and superstition that contrive to rule our lives, doing little other than providing the legitimacy for our power, but a God of history, a God who is one and only one, a God who is somehow in this abandoned man. I wonder, will this dream be real? For in it I saw my husband standing alone, impassive to everyone's eye, but to me, who know him well, filled to the brim with fear, looking at him, despairing, unable to do what he wants to do, swayed by the anger and the threats of all those other voices. I can still feel the sobbing child who cried out in the night, who does not know how to handle the authority he has been given, who would rather pass it on. I told him my dream, and he would not listen, would not acknowledge my fear, nor bend to his own convictions. Will this dream be real? Will he and this man, Jesus, be remembered? Somehow locked together, not just in the story, but in whatever happens next, I don't know. All I have is the reality of my dream and its hold on me. This Jesus gives me grief because he is so different. Different from Pilate, different from me, and yet inhabiting the same stubborn flesh. Standing on that pavement this afternoon, one had all the status and apparently all the power, but the other, him, Jesus, he had an authority that I had never seen before. I want to say I don't know where it came from, but the truth is, I think I do. That is what terrifies me. His reality and all of it, the authority of God, in that moment laid down, freely given up. He had about him such poise, even in that hour when all conspired against him. It seemed as if there was nothing that anyone could take from him. Oh, yes, on the surface, we had taken everything, his dignity, his freedom, his clothes, even his breath. Spiked upon that cross, there was nothing gainly, nothing beautiful about him. Yet, at the same time, and now I shudder to recall this, for it is what I dreamed, we took nothing. Everything that we had was what he chose to give. He answered us with the silence of one who knows what must be done, and then quietly and lovingly does it. For my husband, this was the worst of it. Compared to this, his cup was empty. He washed his hands, but the stain remains. For how long? I do not know, but in the dream it is forever. His name linked with the name of the one they called the Christ, forever accusing, forever laying the blame. And though I know I was there, I saw what happened. The culpability is evenly shared. No one was without a hammer. It is his name, Pontius Pilate, that has become synonymous with blame. That is my suffering. I saw it, and I couldn't change it. People don't believe in dreams anymore. They choose to forget them. It is night, the quiet hours, not peaceful, but empty. I can't sleep. Agitated, anxious, I shuffle the events of the day over and over, looking for the point where my intervention might have changed things. But it is here, at the point where each must choose how to act, that we are all alone, each selecting our own path, each of us powerless to change the other. What I saw in Jesus was an astonishing decision to choose the path of endless loving, and thus there was a colossal dignity in what so quickly became the dirtiest and ugliest of deaths. And I saw in him, this man sleeping next to me, terror, the ability to do what was right, the bending to the will of others, the grotesque brutality of the mob. He is not sleeping soundly. His body trembles, and every so often convulses. He is dreaming, but he won't remember. Whatever stories God hopes to whisper in the ear of sleep, he'll be deaf to when waking. And for my part, I am now frightened of sleep, frightened of dreaming. I don't know what I need to hear. I don't know if I can take it. I don't know what tomorrow holds. My husband's restless resting, and his body, the cold, dead body of the cold, dead preacher from Nazareth, laid in a tomb, but not forgotten.